Okay, this is the February 24th meeting of the Pacifica National Board Governance Committee. I'm the chair, George Ryder. I will call the roll. Jane Zara. Don Wenger.
Present.
Manajay Saba.
Present.
Lawrence Reyes. Myself. Tony Norman. Pat Logan.
Present.
Bob Lederer.
Here.
Nancy Henschel. Vanessa Dixon-Briggs. Mal Bernstein.
Here.
Lydia Brazon.
Here.
Okay, that's seven members. That's seven. We actually have 12 members now with the people who dropped off the LSD and they're no longer here, so that's a quorum. I do not have minutes for you to approve. I did send them out, but it would probably take longer than I want to dig them up again, unless somebody really wants to. We do have an agenda of two items. One Lydia put on, which I gather is a bylaws amendment that you want to discuss, but about changing the notice for telephonic meetings, or I'll let you describe it, Lydia. And
I don't know what that item is, but I would like to instead talk about a bylaws amendment timeline, which I would prefer we had early in the year instead of late in the year. That conflicts with the elections and so on and so forth, and then we don't meet that December deadline to get the bylaws passed.
Okay.
Since we missed it this time, I think only two LSDs voted. So
we haven't voted yet. We can still vote.
Why? The deadline way passed.
No, it isn't. At least my understanding is that it wasn't. That the it was 60 days from the time that the PNB voted, which was February 7th or something like that, assuming that the PNB voted on the first day that they could, but they didn't. They didn't vote for several weeks thereafter. So the actual deadline is something like March 16th or something like that.
Yeah, but the bylaws are clear. You have to do it in that same year. And
I think that's obvious.
Number one. But also that wasn't the timeline that was announced and that we went by, so I don't think that's possible.
Well, we have a difference of opinion on that. Let's put that on the agenda.
Yeah, put that on the agenda.
Okay. The other item was, I put it on, which had to do with, at the time it had to do with the bylaws requirement that nobody holds an elected or appointed public office at any level of government, federal, state, or local, or as a candidate for such office shall be eligible for election to position as delegate. This came up because Tony Norman had a position on the ANC advisory board. It's a neighborhood advisory board, which was, I would say, part of the Washington, D.C. Governmental structure. He has since resigned, so it's not really, it's a moot as far as that particular issue is concerned, but I think we want to revisit that bylaw and see if we want to maintain it the way it is or make a change, and I have a change I want to suggest, so. So that's a second bylaws issue. Is there anything else that people would like to put on the agenda? Okay,
I would like to notice something for our next meeting.
Okay.
Okay, because I'm not prepared to deal with it right now, but we had a situation where the governance committee, I guess we could even deal with it at this meeting since it's relevant. But anyway, the governance committee passed the motion that there could be up to two directors on committees.
Right.
Which has since been challenged by people not currently on the board. But anyway, it was passed at the PMB in D.C. without objection. But it was not noticed, the previous notice from last year was not noticed to be rescinded. So I would like us to consider something when something is so unanimously or without objection passed by a board that it a motion to rescind the previous notice is not necessary. Since that would be like the only way for this year, in my opinion.
All right, we'll make that another item if we get to
okay.
it. Let me read to you what you put on the agenda, Lydia. You might want to pick it up, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That 48 hours prior to a telephonic meeting, the chairperson or any two officers of the foundation or any three directors of the foundation may add an item to the draft agenda and copy the full board. Yeah, that's it.
Okay. Yeah, I'd rather consider that next time. That's the... No.
Okay.
Anyway, I mean, I still think there is some process to be developed with regard to agendas. I'm not sure if that's it. It might be a simpler one, which is just to have a time certain on passage of an agenda, like half an hour for the P&B or something like that. No. Anyway, I'd like to postpone.
Okay, so we'll postpone that. Well, let's take up the item that was on the agenda first at this, unless people want to do it in another order, which is the question about modifying the bylaws to allow people who have, well, I was going to suggest who are candidates for public office but don't actually hold a public office to actually still be on the board. And then we'll take up the question of what should the bylaws timeline be, as well as what is it this year next, and after that we'll talk about the governance committee's motion and whether that's that was in order to consider it the way it was. So, is there any objection to that sequence?
I Manisha, I need to. I would like to make a suggestion that can be discussed. I don't have a motion for it, but as a suggestion, we can discuss it during being a motion next time, and that is amendment of the bylaws. Amendment of the bylaws concerning the candidates for NSB and particularly for PMB to have the resumes and possibly the background check, because I think I really think in light of what has happened and what's still happening. I have come to think more and more about this, that I really, especially for Pacifica and our stations, we need to know who are these boards and what their roles are, and that we have been not having any people's resume can be checked and evaluated, and also their background check. It seems that the background check is very important, has become very important to many people on this board and the board. And I understand that all the members of the board should have some qualifications to be on this board in terms of their competencies. I'm not talking about education necessarily, but about their experience and competencies and all sorts of things. And I would like to suggest an amendment to the bylaws.
Manisha, that is a major, major.
Yeah, I know.
And I would suggest that you put it in writing and we bring it up next time.
Okay, so, but I just wanted to know that this is something that I would like to...
Sure. This is an appropriate place to consider it.
So, thank you.
And this is Lydia.
Yeah, Lydia, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I have long supported that. I have gotten some resistance when I have floated it locally, because there are some actually very good members who said they never would have been elected if that had been put in place, people who have been self-employed forever or whatever. Anyway, however, I do think that at the very least there could be a good portion of the OSB that you have certain criteria. Because right now all you have to do is write a statement that you love Pacifica. And, if it's exciting enough statement, well-written enough statement, that might be enough to get you elected. And I agree. I mean, I don't think we can get, like, a background check thing, but there should be some something where you at least have criteria for a biography or a resume, as Manishe suggested, or something a little bit more that equips you. I also don't think there's sufficient focus on the requirements, like what it is that board members, board directors are responsible for, because that helps define what you as an LSB member, you never know if you're elected to the LSB or you become a delegate, that you might end up on the PMB, even if you're a reluctant draftee. But those are things worth considering, I think. So I would support delving into that more. Thank you.
And you should.
Okay, do we want to discuss the... Manager, we could discuss this now if you want.
No, but I think the board has to, the committee has to decide about if we need to discuss it, but what Lydia is suggesting is a little bit different from what I'm suggesting.
No, I wasn't negating. I was just throwing one more thing into the pot, that's all.
No, I understand.
Yeah.
You were supportive of this to some extent. But one of the things that you said, that somebody is self-employed, somebody is self-employed should not be, what I said and what I meant is not if somebody is self-employed should not be excluded because they are self-employed.
Right.
I don't see that as a problem, and people who have said, oh, we would never get elected, maybe they have something on the background that if it comes out, people would not elect them. But anyway.
Okay, so I don't want to have this discussion now because it really does hinge on the particulars.
Okay.
And I think it would be more useful for you to talk with other people, perhaps, about how to, and put something together in writing, which is a suggested set of particulars, so that we can go from there.
I bring emotion about this, sure. Thank you.
Okay. Okay, so I heard no objection about putting the question about perhaps deleting from the bylaws the requirement that you not be a candidate for federal, state, or local office. Let me speak for it a little bit. There are reasons to leave it in, but the basic idea was that people would have who were somehow connected to the government in some significant way, like having an office, would be tending to use that connection, pursuing their interests in that connection through Pacifica rather than pursuing Pacifica's interests. And so, and there's a history of that. And so people wanted that to not be there. On the other hand, if you're just a candidate, and as I have been, for instance, a candidate for the Green Party, where we didn't actually expect to win, but nevertheless, it was part of getting a message out, talking to people, trying to move the conversation. Part of the political work that we do, that I do, it seemed quite consistent with being on the board. I didn't see any real reason why that would get in the way. So that's my suggestion: is that we make a bylaws amendment that strikes out that part about being a candidate. So I'll just open up the floor to any discussion about that.
Pat.
Pat, go ahead.
Would this be that you could be a candidate, but you couldn't be an official?
Yeah, if you get elected, you'd have to resign.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense to me.
Anyone else want to speak to it?
This is Lydia.
Yeah.
The most problematic thing with us has always been the advisory boards. I remember the very first case that I think that became controversial was the one at KPFT. It was a woman,
yes.
I think, on an arts thing or whatever. And the court, which I'm about to send, can we still do GovList? Although if I'm not on it, I don't know if it'll...
Yeah, but yeah, some others aren't on it either. Nobody that's here now, I think. No, Manage is not on it, and Lawrence is not on it, and Tony is not on it. So.
Wow. Okay. Well, then if I may, it says, okay, this is from when there was a case in court. It was all, this is all publicly posted on the was publicly posted on the court site. And this is what the judge said in relation to that portion of the bylaws. It says, he said, I absolutely agree that you've got, well, I don't know whether it's a problem or not a problem, but Pacifica National Board doesn't seem to have a consistent policy. They let the station board grapple with interpreting their bylaws, and they come out one way in Berkeley, and they come out a different way in Los Angeles. I believe it was your email where you suggest that you need to have a consistent. Anyway, that's one. Then he also says, it certainly reinforces, these are all excerpts, the concept that everybody isn't reading this particular bylaw in the same way, and that two different sides sometimes read this in different ways depending on how life has changed, and that's problematic. Maybe you need to change your bylaw to say nobody with political influence may sit on the board.
Anyway, I got to finish what you're saying, but that's
yeah,
so very...
Yeah, exactly. So, but, you know, that... And so the judge goes on consistently saying this is a very poorly written bylaw. So regardless of whether you go... Because some people think, really, the only value of sitting on the board is if you are a candidate. I would beg to differ with that. And then you have to narrow it down. Who has the most influence on political decisions? Is it the woman you're involved with, or the man you're involved with, or, you know, is it, you know, your child? I mean, you know, you just never know who has the most influence on you. The question in terms of the Pacifica Foundation has always been, the restriction legally has been FCC and our 501c3 status, where you cannot campaign for candidates or speak for or even against, actually, without, you know, the other side and so forth. So there are on-air restrictions to C3s, but there aren't restrictions with regard to this. This is strictly our choice. I really think the advisory portion has been, from my point of view, the most problematic. Now, you can also be elected to an advisory position, and that's the other problem, is that in our five signal areas, you have different configurations of governmental, both office and commissions and so forth, right? And so something may be designated something, but in reality, the test, that when it comes before the court, it doesn't measure up to that criteria, and so therefore it doesn't prevail. So the inconsistencies that the court is talking about is that with all of these positions, in fact, in some stations you have a candidate and we don't make them resign until the Secretary of State has them on the list, right? Others, you know, so at different points. So we have no real criteria. And some people who have been put on political commissions, advisory commissions, one here in L.A., she fought the LSV on it, and she stayed on both. And so, anyway, so it's, I think it's a very legalistic thing. I don't know how much it has served us, or I don't know how much it has protected us. And as in the case of George, I would not want to see him not run for, you know, the particular Green Party or Peace and Freedom or whatever people do, because there's maybe limited expectation that he will win. But you're going to find a pool of people that will think the candidacy is more damning. I'm personally of the mind that I don't think that has been our biggest problem in Pacifica, so nor has that been the greatest, you know, influence. But anyway, there you go. That's
can
it.
I get in the sack?
Yes. Let me just. Lydia spoke to really two separate issues. What I put on for a possible bylaw amendment would have left alone the question about being in a governmental office and just changed the part about being a candidate for office. Go ahead, Mal.
Well, the prohibition against candidates being on the local boards is based on what I think is a real fantasy, that people associated with Pacifica are in the mainstream of American politics, and consequently likely to get elected to something. We're not. I mean, whether it's the Green Party or some other party, our members are not likely to get elected to things. Probably we come closer in Berkeley than most places where our friends have become mayor of Berkeley and city councilman and that sort of thing. But I think in general, people associated with Pacifica are not likely to bring the weight of the government down on their internal opponents. So I would like to support the bylaw amendment as really very unnecessary and used for all kinds of political mischief.
Manager?
Okay, go ahead, Manager.
Mel, I hear what you say, but I think we, in terms of our, you know, Pacifica's independence, it's good to have this. And if I understand that you say people who are associated with, you know, Pacifica would not be getting elected or doing things, but we don't know what's happening. We have to have the safeguards for our, what we do and the position of Pacifica. Not that at this point they may not get elected. Maybe in future somebody get elected, and we don't know where to go. If somebody comes to run for a party, any party, protection against that. And when people, and there is no, there wouldn't be any mischief if people don't play games, and on the boards and PMB and everything constantly playing games, there's no, wouldn't be any mischief. Maybe we have to promote and push, really come hard on applying bylaws equally at all times rather than playing games with it. And we need to have this, bylaws that compose with our affirmative with the mission of the institution. Thanks.
Does anyone else want to speak to this?
This is Bob.
Yeah, Bob.
Yeah, I don't have a definite position on this. I haven't thought about it in a long time. But I do have a couple concerns about changing the bylaws to allow candidates for elected office to serve on the board, on different boards, and there's two issues. One is that one of the things that could easily happen, regardless of what party we're talking about, is that a person could strategically plan to run for the Pacifica, you know, for their LSB at the same time that they're governmental election is going on, as a way to boost their chances of winning the governmental election, and I think that could be problematic. And then another factor, Lydia mentioned something in passing that I think could become a big problem, which is under FCC rules, whenever a licensed broadcaster gives airtime to any current candidate for any public office, they're not required to automatically arrange for equal time for all the other candidates, but if any other candidate for that same office contacts the broadcast entity, they then must provide the same amount of time that they provided to that candidate, so that when we have our mandatory on-air debates of LSB candidates, and, you know, let's say a person is on with a panel of four other people, and so they have whatever they have, you know, out of that hour, maybe they have 15 minutes on the air, then the station be vulnerable to requests from every single other person. And, you know, that includes, if it's in the general election, that would include all the minor, the so-called minor parties, or, you know, all the parties. And also, don't forget with the requirement to run carts for every LSB candidate. That's another example of where the other candidates could, the other candidates for the public office could invoke that FCC rule to say, wait a minute, you've played her cart, you know, six times in the last month, and so, and that was a minute each, so I need 6 minutes of airtime, you know, to talk about my candidacy. So I just think there's a lot of complex and difficult issues involved in opening that door, so I think we should really explore all that before we, you know, endorse it just in the name of kind of broadening access to our ports. That's it.
Anyone else want to speak to this issue?
And this is Lydia.
Okay. Let me ask first, is anybody else who hasn't spoken who wants to speak to this issue?
Yes.
Is that John?
Yeah. I don't know if that was muted or not. Basically, I'm also a member of the Green Party, so I can relate to your situation there. It seems unreasonable to expect an LSB member to resign from the LSB or before, or just be just kicked off the LSB just because they want to run for a Green Party office or an office of a local election, which the Greens are running, like the mayor of, say, Richmond, California. The complexities that people talk about are theoretical, but I don't think they come up very often, and it seems to me that they could be met by rules that are of the form that, you know, if you're running for the mayor of, say, Richmond, California, and running for the LSB, get your on-air comments about the for your candidacy, your on-air comments for your LSB candidacy should be Pacifica related, and if you are in fact a candidate for the mayor of Richmond, California, you just can't talk about that. We could have a rule about that. The idea that you have to let all the mayoral candidates come on to give equal time just can be handled by just disallowing by essentially restricting the speech of the scope of the candidacy, which people would do just because they understand that this is a campaign fairness election problem and not an issue of restriction of speech, you know, per se. I don't think it's a big deal. I think these are really small problems. The candidacy rule should be probably rescinded. I think the issue that we need to worry about is is the government taking control of Pacifica. That's something we have to be extremely careful about. I'd be susceptible to arguments that somebody being a candidate for some other office allows them to take over Pacifica. That's an issue. But I don't think you should lose your membership for just simply being a candidate for some other office. When you get elected, if and when you get elected, then you automatically are removed from the board. It's an automatic resignation.
Okay.
Lydia, go ahead.
Okay, so it's not theoretical, because what I was reading from a court transcript. And here's how the court looks at it, is the intent, right? So it says, if the goal was to eliminate everybody who has influence from government from a role in Pacifica, if that was the intent, they should not have limited it to people who are candidates for political office or who accepts political appointment, because that specifically narrows the concept, that concept. So that's the whole point, is, you know, what is the intent? So if you take out one, in this case, if you decide, oh, okay, it's a, you know, we're going to take out the candidate, we're going to leave the appointments, or we're going to do this, or we're going to do that, or only if they are elected or whatever, it still brings in all of the vagaries when you go to court, and inevitably these things are, you know, can eventually get to court, as it did in this case. But this is the lens through which, you know, the court sees these things. So, A, we need to have attorneys look at it, and B, we need to have larger discussions throughout the network about it and see how much this particular bylaw section has served us. I think at the end of the day, it's our choice, of course, what we have in there, but we have to see if it has served us well or not. But I'm just providing what is not theoretical, what the court actually said. Thank you.
Well, anybody else wants to speak to this? Okay. I think I'm going to actually make this proposal. I'm going to write up basically strike that section, a bylaws change, which I'll bring back next time for the committee to consider, and as a way of putting this, spreading this conversation throughout the network really, where do we draw the line? That's what it amounts to. Okay.
I'll send you my notes since I'm not on the list right now for whatever reason.
Okay. Actually, I'm going to contact Otis and tell him to put people back on the list.
Yeah.
Okay, so the next item was changing the bylaws timeline. Lydia, that was yours. What was your suggestion about that?
Oh, no, my suggestion was to have a 2014 timeline for the bylaws. You were supposed to come up with a timeline every year. And so I think we should do that. And I personally think that this last one already expired and that we have to reconsider these. But because I don't think we can keep changing the timeline. But anyway, go ahead. I'm looking for Richard's posting of the timeline for 2020.
Richard contacted me about it. I sent him back what I took to be the interpretation of the timeline and why it was that it was really 60 days after the PNB voted that you had a vote and why it didn't have to be before December 31st. And on that basis, my understanding is, I certainly know it's true at KPFT, that they were told, well, you had until March 16th, I think, and which was 2 days after the next LSB meeting anyway. So we're gonna vote on those bylaws at that meeting.
Okay. I can tell you I will challenge it, right, and we'll have to send it to the attorneys because when we voted here at KPFK and we discussed it, Richard Uzel sent me what he had put out in the minutes and what we voted on at the PMB, which reads, without additional interpretation, voting by the PMB and the LSB shall commence on December 9th, 45 days after the notice date, and shall be completed by February 7th, 60 days after the commencement of voting. The results shall be posted within 15 days of the completion of the voting of the Pacifica website. That was already, I believe, out of compliance with the bylaws, but regardless, our LSB then made it a point to vote before the end of the year and comply with the motion. I don't think you can change the posting and what the board voted on in terms of timelines. You can't play around with that any more than we already have. So I will be challenging it if you think that that's binding. But I do think it's appropriate to have a new early timeline in order to resurrect those same bylaws and we keep things moving in terms of these bylaws amendments.
I certainly agree, and so with regard to the first issue,
I'll send you this because this is what we all received.
Let's set that aside for the moment. I mean, I don't see any real problem if you're extending the timeline as opposed to cutting it off, but we could talk about that later. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the timeline you want to have for 2014 and see if we can get an agreement on that to suggest it to the PMB right up front really early so that it can actually be implemented early.
Yeah, well, since I didn't know we were meeting tonight and I didn't get that notice, I don't have it ready. It would just be the overlay of, an earlier before to start in, let's say, the late middle to, April or May, Well, now we're already... When are we going to meet next? Let me ask that, because I can have it ready by then.
It'll be next month. It'll be in...
Do you have that date?
This is a peculiar meeting. We usually meet the first... I think it was the first Tuesday.
Yeah.
In March, which would be about a week from now.
Yeah.
So I'm going to do that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So when do you think we're going to meet?
Next, not this Tuesday, but the one right after.
Okay, then I'll have a timeline by then. For
Basically, all it's necessary is a start date, essentially, and everything else follows.
Well, yeah, everything else follows, but let's just do the whole thing so that we can properly post it on the website and so forth. It was a very poor job. That's the other, my other issue with that is that it wasn't properly posted on the Pacifica website, the timeline itself.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so there's nothing further you want to talk about that then?
No, that's it.
Okay.
George?
Yes, John, go ahead.
At some point, I think we got to talk about considering bylaws twice a year because, as you've all noticed by now, we're really not very good at changing our bylaws. And things happen like timeline violations, et cetera, et cetera. So probably we ought to practice it more. And so at some point, and I know this is, I just want to bring this up as something to think about, not necessarily take the time to make a decision. But don't you all think we ought to consider bylaws at least twice, changes at least twice a year?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
That was actually a proposal a while back, which was sifted through the governance committee and was rejected at the time, but... I would like to see it brought back. I think we definitely need to do that.
Yeah, it's like shooting free throws. You got to do it more than once a day. One shot for practice session. Okay, let's just plan on that then.
Okay.
I got two definite yeses. I didn't. Everybody else was silent. But do we have consensus on that, or close to consensus, or strong support? I just want to get a feeling, kind of a gut feeling.
So John is asking for a straw vote. Is anyone opposed to that?
This is Lydia.
Yeah.
I'm not opposed, but the board can always do that. They can add more than one bylaws timeline, not as a requirement, but it says you can have at least one, and you can have more. So that's already embedded in the bylaws. It's just we don't take advantage of what we have. So I don't know that I support creating yet another layer in another bylaw to change. But, I mean, I support having two, so let me be clear about that. So, but I'm saying that the bylaws allow us to do that, which, by the way, was also going to be my motivation for setting this earlier bylaws timeline, because in the event that mid-year we find, there's, like, a really important timeline we should change by the end of the year, we would still have time to have a second one.
So
that's the advantage. So my problem is that we always leave the bylaws timeline too late in the year, whereas if we have it early and we were to need to have a second one that year, we could.
Okay. Well, okay, so will you write the one that you're going to bring for next week such that we could have another one after that?
Yeah.
Excellent.
Okay. Not next week. It went 2 weeks, you said, right?
No, next week. I think it's the first Tuesday in the month is what our standard meeting was.
Oh, okay. I'll do that. Yeah.
And Lydia, as a suggestion, mm-hmm. I was unaware that we could do that. I thought that we only got to do it.
Well, let me send that bylaws portion.
Okay. Good.
Okay.
I can find it, and I believe you. But
just so that we're all on the same page, I'm going to see right now if the Gov list will accept my send on this on the current timeline. For the last amendment.
Well, if not, send it to me and I'll.
Who's speaking now?
Mal Bernstein.
Oh, Mal. Okay, I'll put you and George on there.
Okay.
Okay, yeah. Thanks.
So what I'm suggesting is.
Oh, I don't have Mal.
We need to heighten the awareness.
Mal's not in my address book. Okay, anyway, go ahead.
Send it to me and I'll. It's everybody. It's fine.
Okay.
So what I'm saying is, since I was unaware of it, and evidently George was as well, we need to somehow heighten the awareness of this, and so maybe maybe you could stick in a clause or something in the motion that sort of makes that...
Yeah, that will definitely be my motivation in part of my whereas.
Yeah, okay, perfect.
Okay.
Great. Sounds wonderful.
Okay, well, the only item remaining is the question that Lydia raised about the motion that the Governance Committee passed, which was to allow up to two PMB members on each of the committees, such as this one, which we put forth as a standalone motion. And the objection has been that we should have moved to rescind the previous motion, which said only one. Now, there was a motion previous to that which said two, and I don't know whether that was rescinded or not. I don't know the history of that, but it was not.
No.
So my interpretation had been that essentially this was a motion that was good for a year, and each PMB, which is in fact what has been happening, which each PMB is then deciding for itself in January how it wants to populate the committees. It hadn't actually even occurred to me that we should rescind the previous one. So that's the situation. There is some complaint about that. Does anyone want to speak to it?
This is Lydia.
Yeah, go ahead.
There was, but again, the motion at the DC in-person meeting was passed without objection. So, you know, I don't know that that's like a big problem for right now. It gives some equal access to the committees for the minority. And so if you take turns being the minority, you're going to favor this versus not, only because then it means that you would not have the majority bloc always just vote in their folks, right?
Yes.
If you only have one person on the board. This way, you're going to have equal. My perspective is less about that than it is that the more PMB directors you have on a committee, the easier it'll be to get something passed or agreed to or not on the PMB when it comes to the PMB. You already have had buy-in by a significant, you know, more members from different factions and different stations and so forth. But I don't think it's an issue for this time. It was passed without objection. So unless, you know, we could probably go
through
the rope. But then...
Well, I'm... yes, John, go ahead.
Mal.
Oh, Mal, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. We have such a hard time making a quorum now. I'm afraid that if we extend the membership, it's going to be even harder to get a quorum. And we may have meetings fail because of that.
Well, I'd like to speak to that.
Yeah, me too.
I was the chair of the governance committee when the earlier rule that there be two members on. So we had a governance committee which was about 20 people, and we made the meetings. We made quorum every time, just by one or two. So basically, about half the people wind up showing up. Whether you have 15 or 20, roughly half will show up. So I haven't observed that it was a problem in terms of quorum. I was also the chair of the programming committee at that time. We missed one or two, no more than two. But again, it was roughly half the people would show up, and that was sort of what you needed for a quorum. So I don't think it's been a problem. And the thing that did happen on the governance committee at that time was we actually did get agreement on two bylaws in the governance committee, which of course, you know, is just a recommendation. But one of those actually passed. I mean, it's a bylaw that actually passed, and it was the bylaw that changed the timeline actually. So I think there's something to having, you know, people from different perspectives, let's say, who are in the committee hashing things out before it sort of goes before the PNB.
And then this is Lydia.
Yeah, good, Lydia.
So the other thing is that I have found personally that most of the absences come from the LSB members. And the directors tend to be more invested because they know they're going to be asked to vote on it at the PMB meeting. But I, as I have noticed, at least on the committees that I've been on, we need to do a better job of contacting the LSB members in advance to make these meetings. That's where I see the quorum failures coming up, and that is regardless of whether it's one PMB member or two on the committee.
John, to the queue.
Manager, exactly.
John, the manager.
Yeah, I think, George, I do hear observations, and also Lydia's observations. That seems to be, that's my impression. And to that end, Lydia, would you be so kind as to give Chuck Anderson's email and phone number to George, or actually to the rest of the committee, so that when he doesn't show up, as he did not this time, the committee knows that he's on the committee, and we can call him up and say, "Hey, Chuck, are you? Please come help us make quorum."
Right, I think I didn't get a notice either, so I think this list is not working right now. So, but right. Yes, I will send the information to George.
And I will forward it to Otis and ask him to straighten out the list.
Okay.
And in fact, if you want to be totally open and common and distributive about it, you know, send it to all of us so that all of us can.
Yeah, I'm just not sure if since I'm not on the list, I'm not sure that people are going to get my email. But that's what I was.
Well, I see what you're saying.
I just sent something, so if everybody got it, I'll do that. Thank you.
But certainly, Lydia, you know how to get a hold of me, so you can.
Yeah, of course.
I just don't have Chuck's contact information in it.
Sure. Okay.
I could dig it out of the LSB email.
Sure.
Archives.
No. Okay. I'll do that.
Any other comments about the PMB staffing on the committee? Go ahead.
I think I'm listening to this, and also I hear Lydia says that we have, this was passed without objection. I know that I was in D.C., and I am assuming that, I'm assuming this passed at a time that I was out, a number of others were out. I really think that we need to put these things and discuss them later, because there are things being discussed that I have not been part of even voting or discussion of it, because in protest, as you know, I left the meeting because of some of the things that was happening. So I would not participate in discussing this because this is so unclear to me, and I think this needs to be postponed for the next meeting. So we have more information on what Lydia said that was passed and what was the argument and discussion, so I can see that this, so I can be informed to make a decision one way or another.
This is George. Let me speak with you.
Okay, thank you.
You're correct, let me say. It was passed without objection when you weren't there. I was, but you weren't, and many others were not. And I did go back and listen to the tape, which anyone can do. It's on KPFTX, and it's publicly available. It's the very last section on Sunday, and you can hear the whole discussion, and of course the vote as well.
I would thank you very much for that information, and I would go and listen to it. But I don't want us to make any decision about it tonight, because I can't go and listen to it tonight and get discussion and make, you know, decide about what I'm going to do with it. Thank you so much.
This is Lydia.
Yeah, Lydia, good.
So George presented it because it was passed in the governance committee. It was in the board book. It had been distributed to the entire PMB. And in 2011, it also was accompanied by the opinion from our council that the bylaws say at least one PMB member per committee. That's how this all came about. And so then the 2013 Governance Committee passed the motion. It was part of the governance report. George is the one that presented it and in D.C., and that's how it came to be. And anyway, that's it.
Dinner time.
Okay.
those of us on the West Coast.
Yes, indeed. We do have
sincere.
Is there anything else anyone wanted to add before we close? Okay. Thank you all for being here. I'm going to schedule a meeting for Tuesday, not this Tuesday, but the following Tuesday at the regular time.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Good night, all.
When did you say you were going to do it, George?
Tuesday next. Not tomorrow, but the one after.
Okay, we're back to our schedule the first Tuesday of the month.
Right.
Okay, that'd be fine. Okay, great, thanks. Bye.